So we're reading from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 6 to the end. We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age or the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understand it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no human mind has conceived, the things God has prepared for those who love him. These are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit. The Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except their own spirit within them? In the same way, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught to us by human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Well, good morning, everybody. Please do keep that passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 2 open. I think it was page 1145, and we'll get there in a few moments. If someone had said to you at the beginning of November that on Saturday the 9th we'd have a whole load of snow, and on Sunday the 17th Alistair was going to be speaking on wisdom, you'd think that they were absolutely bonkers on both counts. But they were right. We did have snow a week ago yesterday. I was at work at Quinter and we had between 4 and 5 inches of snow. The children were all out on their sledges. And here I am this morning and we have 1 Corinthians chapter 2 in front of us. But fortunately, this passage is all about God's wisdom. It's not about my wisdom. If it was, then this would have been the shortest sermon you'd ever have heard. And in case you're not quite sure, let me just explain the difference between knowledge and wisdom. Knowledge tells you that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom tells you not to put it in a fruit salad. So you can think about that for the next 20 minutes. Sometimes in life, we go about things all wrong. Take losing weight, for example, something that I'm obviously an expert in. We decide we want to lose weight and we spend a lot of time researching all the different diet programs there are out there. We might buy the latest Men's Health magazine. We might follow the latest celebrity diet program on Instagram. We might download the latest lifestyle app. Maybe we just try and exercise like crazy every day for a week, and at the end of the week we give up because we're exhausted and still weigh the same. We look at the world around us to see what the current wisdom is. But actually, we probably all know the best way to lose a bit of weight. We need to eat healthily, in moderation, cut out cheese and chocolate, apparently, do sensible, regular exercise. It should be quite simple and quite straightforward. But sometimes in looking for a quick fix, we actually make it more complicated as we try to follow the latest fads. Well, something similar was happening in the church in Corinth. They were seeking wisdom, but they were doing so the wrong way. They'd committed to Christ and received the Holy Spirit. They were intent, though, on seeking human or worldly wisdom, rather than trusting in the death and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And because they were seeking worldly wisdom, which in Corinth at that time was made up of many different ideas, they felt that the gospel message delivered by Paul was just too simple. The idea of a weak, crucified Messiah being the path to God was not enough for them. They wanted something much more complicated, much more intellectual, so sought out the wisdom of their culture. Well, since verse 18 of chapter 1, Paul has been contrasting the wisdom of the Corinthian Christians with the wisdom of God. To most of the Corinthians, the wisdom of God was foolishness. And that's the train of thought that Paul continues this morning. If you're taking notes and want to write down a title for this morning's sermon, it would be simply this: True Wisdom Comes from God. True wisdom comes from God. And we're going to look at this in two parts. Firstly, in verses 6 to 9, the world doesn't understand it. And secondly, in verses 10 to 16, the Holy Spirit reveals it. So firstly, verses 6 to 9, true wisdom comes from God, but the world doesn't understand it. Paul wants the Corinthian Christians to know that what he has said to them has come from God. We can follow Paul's argument from the beginning of chapter 2, where in verse 1 he says, "When I came to you, I did not come with eloquence or human wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God." So Paul has not come with his own wisdom, nor is he trying to elevate himself in the eyes of the Corinthians. Paul continues in verse 6, though, "We do, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom." Paul is quite clear. He says to the Corinthians, "What I said to you is not the world's wisdom. It's not my own wisdom. It has clearly come from God, and you won't find it anywhere else." The mature that Paul mentions in verse 6 is just another way of Paul saying believers, those who had realized that they needed the Lord Jesus to save them, as opposed to those who thought they were okay in their own strength. God's wisdom is not like the wisdom of the world. There was nothing like it in the whole of Corinth, even though Corinth at that time was the absolute world center of human wisdom. The rulers and the religious leaders of Corinth were considered really wise in the eyes of the people. But God's wisdom is way above their wisdom. Paul tells us, didn't he, in verse 6, these so-called wise rulers and their wisdom, what will happen to them? They're coming to nothing. Paul tells us that God's wisdom is not found in the present age, nor in the rulers who embrace the present age. And we'll think a little bit more about what Paul means by this age when he repeats the phrase in verse 8. But before that, in verse 7, Paul tells us more about God's wisdom. This is what he writes: "No, we declare God's wisdom, a mystery that has been hidden, and that God destined for our glory before time began." So two things then that characterize God's wisdom: it's a hidden mystery, and secondly, it was destined for us from the very beginning of time. So God's wisdom is a hidden mystery. At one time, the gospel in all its full glory was concealed. We only had hints and shadows of it. That's what's happening throughout the whole of the Old Testament. How many times when we were looking at 1 Samuel recently on a Sunday morning, did those chapters about Saul and David and co. also clearly point ahead to the Lord Jesus? Without specifically stating that, Jesus was in the shadows. But now the mystery has been fully revealed, and with the coming of Christ and the proclamation of the gospel. The gospel isn't hidden in the sense that only a few can hear or discover it. Of course, Paul preached the gospel clearly and openly. Thousands heard it. But the gospel is a mystery to most of the people in Corinth who have not yet had their eyes open to the truth and its relevance. This mystery wisdom is not something that humans with our intelligence can see or understand. Think back, if you can, to life before you became a Christian. You might have gone to church, you might have heard some of the Bible stories, but did you have a full and clear understanding of God's marvelous plan of salvation? No, because that doesn't align with human wisdom. Our understanding will have happened when the Holy Spirit opened the eyes of our heart and revealed God's mystery to us. And the amazing thing is that God had this planned all along. God destined this for our glory before time began. The mystery revealed by God was that he was going to save a people for himself, and he was going to do this through the death and the resurrection of his only son, Jesus Christ, so that we could be brought to glory. That's the good news of the gospel. Well, God's wisdom is not discovered by human means. It must be revealed by his Spirit. And that's what God had planned from the very beginning. Well, people might laugh or scoff at us when we tell them of a Saviour who came to die for them. As Paul said last Sunday, this message sounds weak. Even we as a Christian can appear weak. The Apostle Paul himself looked weak. It all looked like foolishness. So it needs the work of the Holy Spirit to reveal this gospel to the hearts of sinners. So we must remain convinced that the preaching and proclaiming of the gospel is God's intended method of reaching sinners, so that they too can be saved and brought to glory. That has always been God's plan. And that's why you should hear Jesus Christ and Him crucified every Sunday at Holy Trinity. And if you don't, you need to ask why. So if it seems irrelevant or foolish to our friends, family, work colleagues or classmates, we must continue to share the gospel with them and pray that the Holy Spirit would reveal to them the mystery of God's amazing salvation plan, because they're not going to discover it any other way. Well, moving on to verse 8, we again see the people of Paul's day did not understand the gospel. They rejected God's wisdom for their own man-made wisdom. This age that Paul writes about, or the present age, is the period of history that we're still in today, and that's characterized by human rebellion, by sin, despair, and death. Then there is the age to come, the time when the one true God will be king over all the world, bringing an end to the rule of all forces that oppose him. Tom Wright, in his commentary on this verse, says this. And the point is this: the age to come has already broken into the present age in Jesus the Messiah. His death and resurrection form the decisive break, the moment when the great melody of history has begun to be heard in a major key instead of a minor one. That's why the present age and its rulers don't understand this wisdom. They are still playing the tune in the old key, and the notes of the gospel and the new wisdom that flows from it simply won't fit. The rulers of this age are clearly the actual governments of the world. They are the ones, he says, who crucified the Lord of glory. In other words, they are the political powers and the actual rulers who conspired to put Jesus on the cross. Rome, under the Emperor Tiberius, was in charge, acting through the local governor Pontius Pilate. Judaism, under the rule of the chief priests, in an uneasy relationship with Herod Antipas, was the king of the Jews. And he played his part, and the people played their part, keeping on side with Rome's decision. The ruling authorities had no thought that they were doing anything but getting rid of another troublemaker, which was all in a day's work for ruthless empires from that day to this. But if they'd realized what was going on, they would never have dreamed of doing such a thing. I don't know why we just don't listen to Tom Wright. He could preach much better than I could, but that's what he said. So in willing ignorance, the rulers executed the Son of God, for in their eyes, Jesus was weak, anything but glorious. But, Paul says, Jesus is the Lord of glory. Human wisdom can't see that glory. That's why Paul quotes from Isaiah chapter 64 in verse 9, where he writes, "What no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, and what no mind has conceived, the things that God has prepared for those who love him, these are the things God has revealed to us by his Spirit." Paul's point is that the natural eyes, ears, and hearts of men cannot know or comprehend God's wisdom. Such wisdom is only revealed to those who love him. Human wisdom cannot discover God's purposes. God's truth isn't discovered through logical thinking. We must remember that Christianity and a relationship with the Lord Jesus is all about faith seeking understanding. It's not understanding seeking faith. We don't wait until we fully grasp all there is to know about God, until we fully understand absolutely everything in the Bible, and until we fully understand God's plan for salvation, and then say, okay, that makes sense. I think I'll follow this. Now, the Holy Spirit working in us reveals to us God's plan, which to begin with we won't fully understand, but we step out in faith. And then over the coming weeks, months, and years, we seek to grow in our knowledge and our understanding. So true wisdom comes from God, but the world doesn't get it. And that's why we should expect a lack of understanding when we share our faith with our non-believing friends. So moving on to verses 10 to 16, true wisdom comes from God, the Holy Spirit reveals it. What humans cannot do, God does by revealing his wisdom to sinners by his Spirit. Have a look at verses 10 and 11. The Holy Spirit is God's agent for transmitting and revealing his truth and wisdom. As a member of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit knows the mind of God perfectly. No other person knows us as well as we know ourselves. Not even our spouse, who probably knows us better than most people, knows us as intimately as we know ourselves. Only I know my innermost thoughts and desires. Well, in a similar way, only God's own Spirit can know God intimately. And this is the very one who has been sent to reveal God's wisdom to us. The Holy Spirit knows the depths and thoughts of God because he is God. Moving on to the next two verses, 12 and 13. God's truth can't be discovered through the wisdom of men, but it can be received from God. Well, how does this happen? How do we get it? Well, in order to receive God's wisdom, first of all, it has to be offered. And Paul says that God's wisdom has been freely offered or given. God's wisdom was given to Paul not by the Spirit of the world, or in other words, not by human wisdom, but by the Spirit who is from God, the Holy Spirit. Paul's "we" in verse 12 is not referring to Christians in general, but to himself and his fellow apostles to whom God's wisdom was originally given. God's word is, of course, for every Christian believer, but it was revealed first of all to the apostles and the other writers of Scripture. Paul and the other writers did not record for us in the Bible their own thoughts and ideas, and somehow after that the Holy Spirit gave life to those words. Nor did the Bible writers record their own interpretations. No, they recorded what they received from God, and only what they received from God. Although the Holy Spirit used human authors and used words that the human writers knew and used, the Spirit selected them and arranged them in precisely the order he wanted, so that we can say that these are the very words that God wanted to be written. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 says, "All Scripture is God-breathed." And it's because God has freely given his word to the apostles through the work of the Holy Spirit. So the apostles recorded God's word for us, and Paul in verse 13 calls this process explaining spiritualities with Spirit-taught words. It's a great little expression, isn't it? Explaining spiritual realities with Spirit-taught words. Have you ever thought of the Bible as this, the finished product of the Spirit of God, revealing to us the wisdom of God? When we read God's word or hear it preached, we should be seeking the help of the Holy Spirit to open up to us the deep things of God, which he has made freely available to us. Well, think back on your Christian life. How did you learn about sin or about salvation or about judgment, heaven and hell? We'd have been taught these great truths from the Word of God. We'd be lost without it. The cross and its meaning is revealed to us from the Word of God by the Holy Spirit. We must appreciate what a treasure we have in the Bible and read it and study it, knowing that this is how we will receive and understand God's wisdom. So God's wisdom is revealed to us by the Holy Spirit, and he uses the inspired word of God, the Bible, in order to do that. And then finally, in verses 14 to 16, Paul describes two outcomes for us. He talks about two kinds of person: the person without the Spirit in verse 14, and the person with the Spirit in verse 15. So what does the person without the Spirit do? He or she does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him, and he can't understand them. It's, of course, perfectly possible to read God's word, but not yet understand it in a saving way. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees of Jesus' day were highly trained in the Old Testament, yet they missed its core and central message of salvation. They completely failed to recognize the promised Messiah, even when he was living among them. They did not accept the things of God because those things seemed foolishness to them. And everyone who rejects God's word today is like those teachers of the law. They live without the Spirit, and they have no desire to understand God's word. Well, the opposite of this in verse 15 is the person with the Spirit, who is able to make judgments about all things. All things is just a succinct way of saying that the spiritual person is able to see and understand all spiritual truth. He's able to view what goes on in the world from a godly perspective. And the second half of verse 15 tells us that the world doesn't understand Christians. The person without the Spirit is not subject to merely human judgment. It's just as hard for non-believers to understand a believer as it is for them to understand the Bible. The world tries to make judgments about Christians, but their judgments are always wrong. If the gospel is a stumbling block to non-believers, or it is foolishness to them, then very often so is our faith in the Lord Jesus. Christians will always be misunderstood, in some parts of the world mistreated, because the world does not understand their faith, because they don't possess the Holy Spirit. And Paul gives us a reason in verse 16 why no unbeliever is able to make a correct assessment of the Christian faith. Paul asks the question, who has known the mind of the Lord? Paul says, probably quoting Isaiah chapter 40, verse 13. Who knows the mind of the Lord? Well, certainly not the unbelieving world with their worldly wisdom. Unbelievers will often try to argue against God and contradict his word. But as they don't think as God thinks, they don't have God's wisdom either. But as Paul finishes in verse 16, as Christians, as believers, as those in whom the Holy Spirit dwells, we have the mind of Christ. What a crazy thought. How good is that? Not just having the same wisdom of Christ, but we have the mind of Christ. We can think as God thinks because we have the Holy Spirit. So as we seek instruction from the Lord and as we seek the help of the Holy Spirit to teach us spiritual truth from his word, the Holy Spirit reveals Christ to us. So what does it mean day by day to have the mind of Christ? Well, think of the human mind as a computer and the Holy Spirit as a sort of antivirus program that can be installed to the human hard drive. Once the program is installed, that mind can then affect all the computer's systems, taking out harmful applications and replacing them with good functional applications. But it's actually a bit more than just antivirus. It's like a whole new system update. The mind of Christ rewrites our hard drive so that we are capable of understanding God himself. We gain new desires and qualities like humility and compassion and other fruit of the Spirit. We have a new purpose that is aligned with God's, and we can clearly see the reality before us that this world in its wisdom is temporary and flawed, and that we are meant for an eternal world. The mind of Christ is only accessible through faith in Christ Jesus. When we are saved, the Holy Spirit comes to the believer filling us with understanding and a hope of a future inheritance. Well, having the mind of Christ is not something that is reserved only for perfect people. Any and every believer has access to the mind of Christ through faith. However, we must remember that we also still have our old mind. We will still give in to the temptation of sin. But God's antivirus program is continually working its way through us, sanctifying our minds. And this process unfolds over a lifetime, and God is faithful and will bring it to completion. We may also be hindered by false doctrines or choose to use our freedom in unhealthy ways. That's why Paul exhorts the Roman believers when he writes this in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. Our minds need to be constantly renewed, moving away from filling our minds with human wisdom and instead filling our minds with godly wisdom. And that is the work of the Holy Spirit. So true wisdom comes from God. The world won't understand it, but the Holy Spirit reveals it to us through the Bible, which will enable us to make proper discernments and day by day have more and more the mind of Christ. That's great news, as we can understand the things of God and we can know his purposes. So reading and studying and sharing God's word should therefore be an absolute priority for us, remembering always to ask the Holy Spirit to guide and help us. Well, will this be a priority for us this week? Or is our life so busy that we won't actually open a Bible again until this time next week? Well, if we're serious about wanting to renew our mind and to fill it with godly wisdom and not human wisdom, surely reading the inspired word of God will be more important than anything else we do. Let's just be quiet for a moment, and then I'll lead us in prayer as we close. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have revealed your wisdom to us. Thank you for the Holy Spirit giving Paul and the other Bible writers your words to record for us. Please help us day by day to want to fill our minds with your godly wisdom. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.